Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Wednesday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so hopefully you got over there already today to check out the new blog that went up this morning. If not, hey, make some time to get over there. Whenever, you know, it'll be there for a little while. So swing on over, check it out. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link itself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I'm at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three E's.
All right, well, if you listen to the podcast on a regular basis, you realize that at the first time we brought up Joe Maddon being let go and who would be the guy to replace him, before anything else, Dan jumped right out and said, David Ross. Well, it appears, now this is not, I'm a little surprised that this isn't official yet, but I've seen now three different articles stating that Ross will be he will be named the next manager of the Chicago Cubs. So where are we at on this, Dan? Is it a puppet regime and we got Theo and Jed running the day-to-day operation on the field, or what do you got here?
No. I mean, I saw that Kaplan confirmed it, so. And everyone's going with it. I mean, Chicago publications are going with it. So we'll see how that works out. But I don't think you'll have a puppet. I think you'll have a combo.
So yeah, I do find it a little interesting that if you remember, I think before Maddon was hired, it might have been when they decided to go with Rich Renteria. Ryan Sandberg was very interested in being Cubs manager. And one of the reasons Theo came out and said he didn't really go with Sandberg was the fact that he had no managerial experience whatsoever. Now, I may be mistaken here, but I believe Ross went from World Series winner to ESPN analyst to Dancing with the Stars to Cubs manager. I guess being on a major network allows you to have managerial experience.
Well, I mean, would you even say he was? It's not like he was a full time analyst. It was more of an occasional.
Yeah, no, well, you know, he did some game. You know, he was in the booth a little bit, and, you know, he did some studio stuff. I mean, he probably did about as much work as, you know, any of the other analysts, so however you want to look at that. But, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, the one connection, like everything we see with Theo and the Cubs is – Ross was with the Boston Red Sox when Theo was there. So that automatically gives him an in, and it doesn't matter if he managed, you know, his kid's little league team. So, you know, that's, you know, that was all BS because he didn't want Sandberg.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. That's one thing everyone just kind of looks over is the fact that Theo has a pretty much a huge tendency to go back on anything he's previously said.
So, Yeah, you know, and I mean, I obviously you knew. I had no idea. I did think it was funny. There was an article yesterday saying that Joe Esparza, I believe that's how it's pronounced, who's the Astros bench coach, was actually the front runner to get the Cubs job. And then your guy David Kaplan broke the news today that, you know, it was going to be Ross. And then, like you said, everybody else followed up on it, you know, after that. And, you know, that's not surprising. But, you know, you've got to figure Kaplan has the proper sources. You know, it's just kind of a weird scenario almost how this played out. I honestly myself thought Girardi was the best candidate. I don't know much about Esparza except he is the Astros bench coach. I just kind of thought they were doing Rossi a favor by throwing him in there with the interview, and you know he'd end up being the bench coach or something like that, where he could learn, you know, what it's like to be a manager. But now, you know, Dan, don't they have to hire him a veteran bench coach to kind of get him through these things?
Don't they already have a bench coach? Or did he get a job as a manager?
They do, but change, you know, rather quickly. I think Mark Loretta might still be the bench coach.
No, you know, I think Silvio is just keeping whoever's there because it's one of their guys. I don't know. It's so confusing to me where, you know, Theo came in and wants to do everything the Cubs way, and I'm glad he finally got rid of using that excuse or that saying, because he seems to have, him and, you know, the owner of Ricketts actually seem to have some sort of bias against anyone who wasn't on the 69 Cubs until their drafting in 2013.
It's almost like you don't bring anybody in from, you know, anywhere that they were, you know, if they didn't win. So
yeah, I mean, you know, Sandberg was kind of brought back into the system, so to speak, but it just seems like they have something against anyone who is not one of their guys, or they, you know, is, like I said, isn't part of the 69 Cubs. I mean, especially hate Ronnie Woo Woo.
Yeah. You know, unless they, who knows what they've got going on, or what they kind of have under their sleeve there. But yeah, I don't know, you know, if this is a great move. And I did look, Mark Loretta was the bench coach last year. I know he was one of the guys they were supposed to interview. Maybe he'll stick around, you know, maybe he'll get one of the other jobs. There are still six openings. So, I've heard a lot of people mention that they think he's ready to, you know, to ascend to that managerial position. But they, you know, they said the same thing about Alan Trammell for years, and he never got a job when he was the Cubs bench coach. So who knows? You know, and you would think, I'm assuming, a big assumption here that Ross and Loretta have some kind of relationship. So it probably wouldn't be an issue if he stuck around, but, you know, you would think he would want his own guy, wouldn't you? Somebody he could work with.
Well,
you know,
yeah,
David,
you're
David, is there another Red Sox like that? Oh, sorry.
I mean, you're also talking about a guy who has no coaching experience, no coaching job. So he wouldn't be like Joe Madden, who's already already had a crew of guys that he's worked with, you know. Is he going to pull, you know, Jessica Mendoza off of Sunday Night Baseball? I don't think that would be so cool. Yeah. Well, I mean, let's be honest. I think they're probably getting paid pretty nice income, pretty comfortable incomes for working once a week. I don't know that I'd want to take a bench coach job over what they're doing.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, you know, but he does have, you know, relationships with guys he used to play with. You know, so I'm sure he could, you know, he could reach out to those guys. You know, like I jokingly said David Ortiz, but I know there was always a lot of talk that, you know, Jason Varitek would end up being a major league manager. And, you know, maybe it's something he doesn't want to do, but, you know, you wonder if there's, you know, somebody out there like that who could come in and, you know, fill in the bench coach role. Or like I said, maybe Loretta stays. I mean, who knows what they're going to do. It's just kind of, you know, this is a real interesting hire for me because I honestly, I don't think it was the best choice.
You know, well, when it's not like the NFL where a new coach comes in and they fire everybody. I mean, you remember with Madden, they kind of sat around and waited till these guys were up.
Yeah, you know, and that may be the thing. I mean, we don't know what the contract situation is. You know, maybe they don't want to pay him to do nothing or coach somewhere else. So, you know, these guys may hang around until their deals expire. You know, that's the other question. How many years do you think Ross gets as a manager? What's the contract set up?
How long is Theo there? I think it would be, what, 3 years, 5 years?
I was wondering, is Theo signed for 3 or 5 or 6? Or, you know, what's he got left? You know, do you sign Ross for as long as you're there, and then you let the guy who takes your job figure out what to do? So yeah, I don't know. You didn't really say you like this, you don't like this, where you kind of fit in on this.
I'm kind of in between. I mean, I think this will be his one and only coaching job.
You think so?
Yeah, I mean, see, you know, all they're doing is playing off of the fact that it's a popularity contest. And I'm not saying it's great to have a quote unquote likable guy, but I don't know that he has that experience where he's going to be able to handle the media. But then again, let's be honest, Big Jack, anyone who's covering the Cubs, be it David Kaplan, Bruce Levine, you know, those guys or the Cubs broadcasters, it's not like they're going to give him any kind of tough questions or, you know, they're not going to be doing any kind of real reporting. So, I mean, it's not like he's going to have any real issues. And with the way sports journalism is now, that's pretty much it. You don't, you know, the guys who have the MLB passes, the press passes, aren't really there to challenge anything. So, you know, of course he's going to get those times when, you know, 10 reporters ask the same question, you know, 10 different ways. For why, you know, he decided to pull a pitcher after, you know, 3 pitches or leave a guy in after, you know, 103 pitches. You know, so that part of it. And I just find it funny that, like I said, last week, you know, it was reported that Chris Bryant, you know, was interviewed about it. And, you know, he liked the idea because he was like a guy they all went to. He was kind of a big brother, a guy that they really respected. And when you kind of see what happened after they won the World Series and David Ross retired, you've got to kind of wonder what the team as a whole, what their, how great their relationship was with Joe Mann to begin with. I mean, you know, Joe came in and tried to do all that new stuff, that stuff that I think, you know, yeah, it was great and funny for the broadcasters to talk about on their shows. But, you know, when it comes down to it, you and I thought they were ridiculous and stupid, you know, bringing magicians and doing all this other crap. And you've got to imagine that a lot of the players thought it was stupid, too. It got old real quick. You know, so you've got to wonder how much of a respect level was there and how much they actually enjoyed Joe being the manager, seeing as once David Ross was gone, you know, their performance kind of seemed to dwindle.
Well, you know, Madden has one of those acts that wears thin after a while. You know, the one thing he's good at, and I understand why teams like to hire him, is he is fantastic on getting the media to focus on him and not the players. You know, so if a player is struggling or if, you know, something went wrong or anything like that, Madden really knows how to deflect what would be the criticism of that player onto himself. You know, obviously Ross has zero experience in doing this, so I'm going to guess he's not going to be as good as it, and the players may have to answer some tougher questions. But then again, I mean, as long as they're here in Chicago, like you said, I mean, these guys aren't going to ask them anything difficult. So, you know, that's not going to be a problem. But that's the one real big positive about bringing Madden in. And I think the Angels will see that, and especially a guy like Mike Trout, who, you know, obviously everybody wants to talk to about every little thing. You know, Madden's going to be there to deflect a lot of that. I don't think the Angels will be very successful. I don't expect them to be 500 unless they sign a multitude of free agents. But it'll be interesting to see. And, you know, I don't know where the Cubs stand. I mean, you know, if you, you know, I should send, it's too bad I don't ever send you any of the emails from Stu. He's convinced they're making major off-season moves and they're going to look to kind of do the old rebuild on the fly type of deal. I don't think they're going to do anything except try to rebuild the bullpen, but that's just me. So we'll see where they land. I don't know. I mean, what do you think they're going to give Ross? Are they going to give him a contender, or do you think Stu's right and they dump some guys and try to build it back up?
I'd like to say that they might be in that realm, but I mean, let's be honest. Theo's track record doesn't—he doesn't have a record of being able to do that correctly without, you know, those compensation picks.
Yeah, well, you know, and like you pointed out, I mean, the way Theo builds teams no longer exists.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you don't know. I mean, honestly, say he gets another rebuild job after the Cubs, or if he tries to do it here, can he do it again under the new rules? Because it doesn't look like, you know, he's had a ton of draft success except for, I don't even know if you can call like Schwarber or Hop or guys like that successful, but those are the guys who are getting here to the big leagues. After that, I mean, he's not having any luck with the lower round draft picks. It's just for rounders. So yeah, I don't know what their point is, but I guess we'll have to wait and see, huh?
Yeah, I mean, it's so hard to even make an opinion on this because is it a good signing? Is it a bad signing? Who really knows? You know, how much of a difference is the manager going to make when we don't know how much of the front office is going to be involved in it?
Yeah. Well, Well, all right, Dan. I want to hearken you back to April 16th, 2015. I'm not sure if you remember that magical day in Cubs history, but does that ring a bell to you?
What's the day after Jackie Robinson Day?
Well, yeah, there you go. I'll help you out here. It was the day that the Cubs officially called Chris Bryant up to the major leagues. Obviously, this was one day after he could accrue a full year of big league service time. On April 17th of 2015, Bryant and his agent Scott Boras filed a grievance with Major League Baseball, or filed a grievance concerning the date of his Major League Baseball call-up. And apparently now, Dan, 4 years later, it looks like we might finally get a decision on this grievance. So that was interesting. Now, the funny part here is they actually go into a little detail, like when the Cubs sent Bryant down, the justification for them sending him down was they needed him to work on his defensive shortcomings. Now, the joke, of course, here is Bryant mentions in a former interview that while he was in the minor leagues for those 12 days, he got about 3 ground balls in the games. So that made him ready, was he got 3 game ground balls. Letter of the law-wise here, Dan, I don't know if he's going to win this. But it's definitely one thing that the union has to change in the CBA, isn't it?
Wait, say that again.
I said, if letter of the law wise, he probably shouldn't win this because it's written into the CBA. But
yeah.
Either way, they've got to do something with this, right? This rule has to be changed.
Oh, yeah, I think it's definitely something that should be changed, and maybe that's part of the outcome.
I guess that could be.
Because of the future, but then again, what if he does win, and then they cite that as part of the change to update the CBA?
Yeah, in all honesty, he should win. We all know why he was sent to the minors. It just happens to be that the letter of the law in their CBA says this. There's nothing wrong with this. So it's just going to kind of see how this goes. My guess is no matter which way it goes, we're going to get an appeal, and this is going to continue to drag out. But if he does win – there probably are some other guys on deck, looking to do this. I know somebody brought up back Vladimir Guerrero, but you got to remember Guerrero got hurt at the end of spring training, so he wouldn't have been able to play anyways. So, his going down isn't as big of an issue as a Chris Bryant, but I believe a guy like Mikel Franco of the Phillies had an issue like this where he was brought up, a day or two after, that year of service time pushed back. And, I'm kind of drawing a blank, but I know there's been other players who have been treated this way. So I wonder if a win for Bryant, do you think we see more grievances?
Oh, yeah. Especially if they're Boras clients.
Then I guess the question is, if Bryant does win, does it stop? Or do teams continue to keep trying to pull these shenanigans?
No, I think teams will continue to pull this until they're not allowed to anymore. Basically, like we talked about with Theo, he was able to take advantage of the system by offering, you know, certain players qualifying offers that he knew they weren't going to accept, so that another team would then, you know, sign them, and then he would take their draft picks, so he could accumulate as many first-round draft picks as he wanted. Well, not as he wanted, but you get the point in one draft.
So, yeah, I don't know. I think it's going to be it's going to be kind of interesting to see how it shakes out, but we'll see how it goes. But now that the Cubs have filled their coaching vacancy, we do still have six left. We have the Giants, the Mets, the Padres, the Pirates, the Phillies, and the Royals. I thought this was interesting here because a lot of these teams seem to be down to just two choices on who they're going to hire. The Giants were interested in talking to quite a few candidates, but apparently it's down to Raul Ibanez or Mike Matheny. So I want to ask you, Dan, who do you want to see get the Giants job, Ibanez or Matheny?
Ooh. Man, I mean, I'm leaning towards Matheny because he did lead the Cardinals to a couple of World Series. But, you know, they always say catchers make great coaches, and Ibanez was one. So
yeah, I've read for years now that Ibanez is supposed to be a good candidate. We hear this a lot. These guys are good candidates, so on and so forth, and they never end up getting jobs. So we'll have to see if maybe this is his shot. But, I don't know. And then kind of jumping along to the Mets here, they're in the same boat as the Giants. They're looking at a ton of candidates. But they're another team. It looks like Matheny's going to get a job somewhere, Dan, because he's a finalist for the Mets job as well. Along with Buck Showalter, are you buying, if you're picking between Matheny and Buck, who are you going with there?
I'm still leaning for Matheny.
So, well, there you go. And now, the Padres, again, they've had one, two, three, four, five, seven guys, not counting Joe Maddon, that they were really interested in. And apparently out of these seven guys, they have Matheny as their front runner. So it looks like he's going to get a job somewhere. We finally get to a team that isn't considering him, and that's the Pirates. They've narrowed it down to four. It's Jeff Banister, the former Rangers manager, who does have a history with the Pirates, Mike Bell, the Diamondbacks director of player personnel, Mark Kotze, who right now is the Athletics quality control coach, but was a Padre hitting coach and a special assistant to the GM. And then here's Joe Espada again, the Astros bench coach. A little more selection here in Pittsburgh, Dan. You like one of these guys here to jump out and take this job?
Maybe Espada.
So, yeah, you wonder how they're going to do. Now the Phillies here, Dan, three guys, all names we know, trying to make a decision. Showalter again, Joe Girardi, or Dusty Baker. Are you going to stay loyal to Dusty and give him the Phillies job, or you like one of the other two guys there?
I really like Dusty, but I think if you're the Phillies, you want to make a big statement, you go with Joe Girardi.
Yeah. So, and then we go to the Royals, the last job open here. It looks like whoever they hire is going to come from the inside. They have Vance Wilson, who's their bullpen coach. Pedro, I'm going to guess this is Griffel, who is the quality control and catching coach. Matheny, again, who's actually working as a special advisor to them. And then here's your guy, Dale Clem, who was their bench coach. I did read an article on another website that your guy Dale Clem that is taking himself out of the running. He's hoping to be reassigned into another position in the organization. But if you're running both forward, Dan, are you liking, you know, I mean, is Matheny the guy just because he's got the experience? But I don't know if they'll be able to land him with all the other offers he's going to get.
I think he would be the guy, but I don't know. I'm not going to say I know Matheny, but I would think he'd want to go to maybe a more established organization or one that looks like they have a future.
you would think, right, he would, you know, with his experience, he would want to go someplace where he at least has a chance to win, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, that's kind of where we're sitting now in the situation the teams are in. I mean, obviously, you know, the Angels hired Joe Maddon, and then the Cubs are going to hire David Ross. Otherwise, you know, these other positions are still open, and, you know, we'll have to see how things play out. I know Maddon was on a few of those other teams' lists, but I don't believe I believe the Cubs were the only one with any interest in talking to David Ross, so that's not going to be too big of a deal there when his name comes off. So,
well, you know, the other side of it, too, with Theo hiring Ross, if that truly does happen, do you think it has anything to do with him wanting to save face? Because I'm sure just like me, you had a ton of Cub fan friends on Facebook that were just putting out all those thank you videos for Joe Maddon.
Yeah, I make that thank you
video. I mean, I would have made a thank you video for not resigning video, but that's just me. I mean, even, you know, the casual fan, and I'm not going to discount even the casual fan because they're still a fan of the team, and I'm not one of those that gets all angry about quote-unquote bandwagon jumpers, but, you know, most casual fans thought that, you know, that the Cubs fired Joe.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, and I'm not going to sit here and jump on people like that just because they don't know. If they were to ask me, I would just say, no, he didn't get fired. They didn't rehire him. Wasn't that the same thing? Well, no, it's a contract. It's not like us regular people on our 9-to-5 jobs, you know. But, you know, so like I said, I never, you know, knock any people who think that he was fired. But, you know, the fact that there are a lot of fans that are a little bit more casual, and then even to the diehards that love Joe, I feel like the hiring of David Ross will be one of those things that will kind of keep Theo in the positive light. So
yeah,
it's selfish.
You know, it's definitely going to be a here, right?
Yeah. You know, because that's one of the things, you know, like I got a couple, it's kind of cool. My new job is a few more, like, you know, baseball fans, Cub fans. You know, and the question is, how long will Theo last? Because it's not a matter of him getting fired. It's a matter of him walking away.
Yeah, it's, you know, and I mean, I can, you know, from the Cubs' point of view, I totally understand them not wanting to bring him back. You know, I mean, he had kind of wore out, you know, so to speak, wore out his welcome here. I mean, they weren't winning with him. I believe that he had kind of lost the team. I don't think they were listening to him. So, it was time to, you know, time to make a change. And I do wonder if they would have made an in-season change if this team would have been in the playoffs.
you know, and first of all, we haven't been here for a while, and you know, one of the things Uncle Bob said to me, who I haven't talked to you because you've been sick. Uncle Bob actually passed away a couple of days ago, so I won't have any more.
No way.
Yeah, I was lucky enough to see him Saturday. You know, his kind of his dying words were, he doesn't think Trubisky's actually the guy that they thought he was going to be. So I have to throw out that out there. Because, you know, anytime I talk about Uncle Bob. I missed that. You were breaking up.
That's just dead on perfect for him to say. So.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's just, it kind of cracked me up that he was saying that. Obviously, I didn't really know he was dying. I just thought he was on a bunch of pain meds that he wasn't telling us about. But, yeah, it was his time to go. I guess it happened, like, Monday night. So, you know, it happens. But, you know, he was the one who was all on board with Theo's thing. And, you know, are you just wanting a continuous team that's kind of hanging out there like the Jim Hendry era? Or do you want a team that's going to be, you know, playoff-bound championship contending for years to come? And I think Theo did everything he could. You know, he got the draft picks. You know, we got all that kind of working out. Went for the manager that he thought was going to be the one that's going to take them into it. They progressed a lot quicker than anyone had anticipated. And then they won the World Series in 2016. And then we progressively watched them just flatline under Joe's tutelage. And you know, I know I hold on to some of the dumbest things sometimes, some of the dumbest, smallest things. But the one thing, and, you know, you brought this up, Joe Maddon was great with the media, and that was one of his strong points. And, you know, making it about himself as opposed to, you know, the players taking criticism. Otherwise, I think there would have been a lot more stuff on Addison Russell. But, you know, like I said, Chicago media, I think you lose your job if you talk negatively about our sports teams here. So that's why there wasn't a whole lot of uproar on Addison Russell. But the thing that stood out to me most preseason was the press conference Joe had, and he threw out the fact that he bought a book for how to coach millennials. And yeah. Like I said, it's a stupid thing that I'm holding on to. But, I mean, comments like that, you've got to wonder, what was the relationship really like? And how did it sour? Or when did it sour? Or was it always just kind of on the verge of souring because people were, you know, a lot of the players were young players and they had kids and might have enjoyed having the magician there and bring your kid day to work and blah, blah, blah. But, again, you know, the biggest thing I talked about was the fact that Joe Maddon got rid of batting practice. And I think if David Ross does anything, he brings it back, and that'll make just a bit of a difference because when you work in Tampa under a dome, Big Jack, do you really need batting practice every day? Because I'm under the impression the weather doesn't change inside of a dome, correct? It's 76 degrees or whatever they set it to. Where in Chicago, you know, the wind that's blowing out at 9 a.m. is blowing in at 7 p.m. So you can't tell me that them not doing batting practice had any benefit to the players.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, as, you know, a guy who played a little, I liked to take batting practice every day, even if it was only to get, you know, 20 swings in. You know, I mean, like, I didn't have to go out there and hit 100 balls. But, you know, there were always things that I kind of wanted to remind myself to work on. And I guess, you know, maybe in today's game that's not as important because, you know, it was stuff like, you know, hitting the ball the other way. And, you know, especially if I was, you know, on the road, if we could get out there and get a few swings and I could kind of feel the batter's box, you know, that was a big plus for me. But I guess maybe as a professional, you wouldn't need it, but I think you would want to take it. I mean, I'm really surprised that the players didn't kind of put up more of discussion on it because I always wanted to hit.
Well, and, you know, that was one of the biggest changes that kind of came into this era when I used to show up 2 hours before the game, I was one of those. I got there early because I knew the Cubs were going to be hitting balls. You know, and then as I continued to do that, they started making the Cubs batting practice earlier and earlier. And then all of a sudden, when you went early, the only batting practice you got to see was the opponent. And luckily, I got a ball from Andrew McCutchen. So, you know, I don't have that many baseballs in my life, but that's a cool one to have. I know it's not a home run per se, but, you know, it's not something I'm going to throw up on eBay and try to pass off and get authenticated and all that crap. But, you know, it's a cool memento for me. But, you know, that was one of the things that always threw me off, because that is growing up as a kid and through the early 2000s. Even the Sosa, Soriano, that era, those guys were always out there doing batting practice, and you just didn't see that anymore. And I know, again, right, it's just something small and something stupid, but how can you tell me that that didn't affect the Cubs players when all their batting averages seem to kind of go down?
Here's my question for you. What bothers you more? Joe Maddon, you know, basically doing away with batting practice, or your guy Dale Swaim having bunting practice?
Oh, that you know, that is probably – that's very hard because they're pretty equal. And the only reason I say that about Swaim, is because we heard about it, right? We heard about it all preseason in Arizona, the bunting program that, you know, kind of the brackets he set up. And what did we see in the – regular season, nobody punted the ball. And, you know, he was doing it the Cubs way as a lifetime Brewer.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, I think he spent the majority of his career playing for the Royals. So.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. I just, you know, my coaching career for him was a Brewer, so.
Yeah, as a coach, yeah, he was a Brewer. Kind of odd that he didn't get, you know, a Royals job until after he was done with the Brewers and the Cubs.
Mm-hmm. So, but I guess in retrospect, if I'm I am a Cubs fan, but for right now we only have two hires, and I'm an Angels fan, or I'm a Cubs fan, I'm an Angels fan going, shoot, I don't know, I think I'd rather have David Ross as the manager.
Yeah, you know, I mean, well, you know, I just thought that was, I don't know, you know, I remembered that, and I just thought it would be kind of funny to make you choose between the two there.
Yeah. So the one thing I find interesting, though, with the other vacancies is, you know, Dave Roberts pretty much came in, and he understands his role. He's just out there to hand out the lineups. I don't know if they're getting text messages on when he's allowed to replace guys or whatever, or if he's got a complete, you know, spreadsheet that's given to them before the game to, in this situation, if this happens, you could do this, you know, one of those kind of things. But, you know, when you brought up Buck, Joe, and Matheny, you know, how is that going to work for those teams? Because you know damn well Joe's not – Joe Girardi, that is. Doesn't really seem like a guy that's going to take any kind of crap. And
yeah.
Buck's that old school coach, and I think with the way the Cardinals were ran, he may have had a combo of the two, you know, a little bit of his own decision-making plus meetings with the front office, which you would expect, but in today's game. So you got to wonder how those teams that are going to go into it, how they're going to let those guys run the team.
Yeah, they're definitely not that hire that you can go to and say, here's your lineup, or this is what you're going to do in this situation. You know, that's just not gonna go over. So, you know, if you're bringing those guys in, you're bringing those guys in to manage the team. And now, obviously, you know, they understand that analytics is part of the game in today's baseball. And, you know, I'm sure they have their own methods of using it. But, yeah, you're not going to be able to give them a lineup and say, this is what we're doing against righties, this is what we're doing against lefties, because the analytic tells too. So.
Because my Yahoo Fantasy team needs to work.
Right. You know, just kind of not gonna work out. But I don't know. All right. Well, let's get on to what's going on here tonight, Dan. You know, my pick, the Astros. You know, took it on the chin last night, 5-4. I do find it interesting that quite a few people pointing the finger at George Springer for not running out that fly ball, where he could have ended up on third base, and then Jose Altuve hit a fly ball that would have had a chance to bring him home, and we had a 5-5 game. Have you seen the play, or are you in that ballpark? Did Springer's kind of home run antics cost them a tie?
I guess, well, I watched the condensed game this morning because I didn't see all of it. So they didn't really focus on that portion of it. So I didn't really watch a whole lot of, you know, who gets the blame game this morning. So I didn't see that. I mean,
yeah, I don't remember what inning it was, but Springer himself blamed it on Kyle Tucker, because when Springer hit the fly ball, you knew it was going to be iffy. It had a chance to go out, but it also had a chance to be caught. Tucker went back to third base to tag up, or went back to second base, excuse me, to tag up. So when the ball fell in, he was rounding third while Springer was at second. So that was Springer's excuse, was he thought maybe Tucker would hold. Obviously, it was an excuse, because everybody knew Tucker wasn't going to hold. There was no way in that situation Tucker was going to hold at third base. He was going to try to score all the way. But we're in the World Series here. I mean, I get that we're in a showboat league now, but, you know, down the road, this guy may have cost his team a game.
Yeah,
so do we maybe run balls out now?
I'm going to go back and look at that, but I mean, there was mistakes on both ends, so.
Yeah, well,
this is
kind of the glaring one that you could look and see and say, they could have had a run here if this guy, you know, because now face it, Dan, you damn well know if this was a Yasiel Puig or a player like that, they would be trying to literally hang this guy from the gallows. But, you know, since it's George Springer, he's not really a controversial guy, you know, he kind of gets away with it. This is a big deal in a World Series. You know, if it's the regular season, okay, it's one game on 162. This is 1 out of 7 to win it all. Get your head out of your rear end and run. It's not that big a deal.
Well, and, you know, I'm not going to place any blame, but where was the third base coach in this situation?
Well, he was dealing with Tucker because he had the runner on second. So he was making sure that Tucker scored while Springer was getting to second base. So, you know, these guys are, and, you know, let's face it, how many of these guys actually look at the coach?
Yeah,
you know. So. I'm not going to sit here and say he cost the Astros the game, because you never know what's going to happen. But in my mind, since I did pick the Astros to win it all in the beginning, he cost the Astros the game, Dan.
Yeah, well, Altuve cost me my Yankees going to the World Series. So.
Yeah, well, you know what I mean? I mean, obviously, it didn't help the fact that the preordained rookie of the year, Yordan Alvarez, went up and whiffed badly with the bases loaded and two outs in an inning. I mean, if he could have just, you know, if this guy would just show up a little bit, but, you know, hey, we give him we give him the award because he hits great against guys who are going to be driving for Uber this off season. And, you know, now he's facing actual pitching, and he's, he's about one for your age or my age. I'm not quite sure how many at-bats he's had yet, but he's getting up there.
Yeah, and that's the disappointing part of the game. But, you know, and that's, I think, one thing I'm not a huge fan of is the mentality that, you know, you get up on up to the plate with bases loaded, and it's not driving the guy in. It's about hitting that grand slam.
Yeah, and then if you – maybe you saw the at-bat, maybe you didn't going through the game like that, but I saw the at-bat this morning while I was going through the condensed version of the game, and he – even with two strikes, he didn't even try to make contact. He was still swinging to hit it out. I was like, okay, great, you hit the grand slam, you're a big hero. If you get me a frickin' hit and two runs score, you're still a hero.
Yeah. You know, and that's, you know, we've had this argument with Mr. Fantasy and a while back about the whole professional hitter thing. And you're like, yeah, when? Because he hasn't been on the podcast in years. You know, the whole professional hitter thing. And, you know, when you're a kid, and I'm sure you, you know, kind of mocked this up when you were a kid playing, whether it was Little League, but I think more so when you're playing with your friends. I know I did. And, you know, as I was up with my friend, and even though it might have been just him and I, you know, I was Jose Canseco with bases loaded. And we're about, you know, and you want to hit that grand slam. But when you're in the major leagues, you're in the pros, that's what separates you. That's what makes you a pro, is letting go of that dream and understanding what the point of the game is. And the point of the game is to win. Secondly, is to move your runners over. It's not about you.
You know, and that's one of the things, you know, with the exception of last night, because they hit two home runs, the Nationals have really been doing that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, you know, last night they had the, you know, they had the big Ryan Zimmerman home run, and then, of course, Juan Soto, who, you know, is probably in line for a monster series, because I don't know how much sense this makes, Dan, but the Astros have a total of zero left-handed pitchers on their World Series roster. So my guy Wade Miley is sitting in the dugout watching while Juan Soto is probably just going to feast against these right-handed pitchers, even if their names are Verlander, Cole, and Greinke.
So he didn't make that roster again?
Again.
Wow. All because of a bad September.
Yeah. So, you know, and I think he had a bad – I think he had a bad outing in the he was on the – or no, he wasn't. That's right. No, he was on the CS roster, DS roster, and I think he had a bad outing. So – but, yeah, there's no – it's all right-handed. They're expecting Ryan Pressly to be the guy to come in and get left-handers out because he's had some success. You know, during the season. So we'll see how that works or what goes on. But yeah, that's their that is their strategy.
Now, kind of flipping the table or whatever you want to call it. When I was watching the condensed game this morning, and I have to praise you because I think I've been getting the MLB.TV for several years now, and you finally watched the condensed game, so I'm
well,
glad
I
kind of got you on that.
It's nice to have it on while you're writing the blog, you know. I was sick, you know, since I had the flu, I was asleep before the game even started last night.
Oh, okay. But, hey, you know, maybe it'll get you ready for next year and you'll watch some more game recaps or condensed games. So – when I was watching it, you know, I was getting ready for work this morning, and then it threw me off when I noticed Patrick Corbin in, like, the fifth or sixth inning.
Yeah. So yeah, they mentioned today, and I was a little surprised by this. The Nationals came out and said that Anibal Sanchez will start game 3, and Patrick Corbin is gonna work if needed. Will work out of the bullpen.
So has he become like the Tim Lincecum?
Yeah, I guess, you know, as it was explained, you know, when I heard a guy explaining it on television today, apparently the Astros are trying to take a page out of what the Red Sox did this year, or the Nationals, I mean. I think I said Astros. And they're trying to plug those holes in the bullpen by going with starting pitchers. So yeah, you know, I mean, we'll see what, you know, what kind of success it has, but that's, you know, that's their plan.
You know, I made the joke. I was wondering. I'm like, are they hoping for a rainout for the first game back in Washington? Is that what their strategy was?
Yeah. Maybe, you know. So who knows? But you know, since we are clicking down on time here, I have to ask you: were you happy with your fantasy basketball draft on Saturday night?
I guess so, until I realized that I drafted 3 Raptors, and I'm not huge on.
Hey, they won last night.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, I'm just not huge on the, you know, daily fantasy's okay, but when it's your regular team.
Yeah.
It's not that great of an idea. So we'll see how this plays out during the season.
And did you end up with any of the local guys? You got any Bulls on your team?
No. I was at my mother-in-law's birthday dinner, so it was a little bit of a challenge trying to do this draft and then, you know, sit with family. But you are going to laugh because I did end up drafting D. Rose. Figured he's played so much better than he has. No longer with the Bulls. I was able to land Kristaps Porzingis. So I was happy about that.
Yeah.
Hoping that works out this year. And then, I feel like it's a pretty solid roster. You know, J.J. Redick. I don't know. I don't really know Bridges from Charlotte. I have Winslow. But, you know, I was able to land Porzingis, Kevin Love, who I actually didn't want. But when I came back into the draft, I accidentally hit bid, and nobody else bid me on
that. I remember saying that. Yeah.
So, but I ended up with Paul Millsap, Russell Westbrook, your guy, Bobby Ingram. I don't know his first name, Siakam. Pierre, I think.
Yeah. Pascal. He was the guy who had the playoff run in Toronto last year.
Yeah, and I saw he got signed to a pretty nice contract. Extension. So I was like, he seems to be a notable guy. And then Serge Ibaka, which I know you know is like one of my guys. I blew that money quick, and it was hard to sit there when you don't have any money.
Yeah. Yeah, I did that too. I overpaid for Giannis, and I had to kind of go back a little bit. So, but, you know, all in all, we'll see. I do find it interesting we're playing each other.
Oh, really?
Oh, right. Well, we'll be back.
For some Radio.com.